Welcome to day 288 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, and I'm happy that you've joined me today as we are continuing through the Gospels. This week we will be reading from the Amplified Bible, and today we will cover the Gospel of Mark, chapters 4 and 5. So we will hear Jesus teaching in parables again, and also about some miracles. And so I know that you're going to enjoy this section of scripture as we begin at Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the lake, and a very great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a ship in order to sit in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was at the lakeside on the shore. And he taught them many things in parables, illustrations or comparisons put beside truths to explain them. And in his teaching he said to them, "Give attention to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed of the same kind fell on ground full of rocks, where it had not much soil, and at once it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun came up, it was scorched, and because it had not taken root, it withered away. Other seed of the same kind fell among thorn plants, and the thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed of the same kind fell into good, well-adapted soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing, and yielded up to 30 times as much, and 60 times as much, and even 100 times as much as had been sown. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him be hearing, and let him consider and comprehend." And as soon as he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 apostles began to ask him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God, that is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable, in order that they may indeed look and look, but not see and perceive, and may hear and hear, but not grasp and comprehend, lest haply they should turn again, and it, their willful rejection of the truth, should be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. And when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves, and so they endure for a little while. Then, when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended, become displeased, indignant, resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the ones sown among the thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight in false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. And those sown on the good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. And he said to them, "Is the lamp brought in to be put under a peck measure or under a bed, and not to be put on the lampstand? Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. If any man has ears to hear, let him be listening, and let him perceive and comprehend." And he said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force." And he said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed upon the ground, and then continues sleeping and rising night and day while the seed sprouts and grows and increases, he knows not how. The earth produces, acting by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe and permits, immediately he sends forth the reapers and puts in the sickle, because the harvest stands ready." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use to illustrate and explain it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds upon the earth. Yet, after it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all garden herbs and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air are able to make nests and dwell in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear and to comprehend and to understand. He did not tell them anything without a parable, but privately to his disciples, those who were peculiarly his own, he explained everything fully. On that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And leaving the throng, they took him with them, just as he was, in the boat in which he was sitting, and other boats were with him. And a furious storm of hurricane proportions arose, and the waves kept beating into the boat so that it was already becoming filled. But he himself was in the stern of the boat asleep on the leather cushion, and they awoke him and said to him, "Master, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush now, be still, muzzled." And the wind ceased, sank to rest as if exhausted by its beating. And there was immediately a great calm, a perfect peacefulness. He said to them, "Why are you so timid and fearful? How is it that you have no faith? No firmly relying trust?" And they were filled with great awe and feared exceedingly, and said one to another, "Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?" Chapter 5. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes, and as soon as he got out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man under the power of an unclean spirit. This man continually lived among the tombs, and no one could subdue him any more, even with a chain. For he had been bound often with shackles for the feet and handcuffs, but the handcuffs of light chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he rubbed and ground together and broke in pieces, and no one had strength enough to restrain or tame him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always shrieking and screaming and beating and bruising and cutting himself with stones. And when from a distance he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his knees before him in homage. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? What is there in common between us? I solemnly implore you, by God, do not begin to torment me." For Jesus was commanding, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he kept begging him urgently not to send them, himself and the other demons, away out of that region. Now a great herd of hogs was grazing there on the hillside, and the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the hogs, that we may go into them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out of the man and entered into the hogs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed headlong down the steep slope into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The hog feeders ran away and told it in the town and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had taken place. And they came to Jesus and looked intently and searchingly at the man who had been a demoniac, sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, the same man who had had the legion of demons. And they were seized with alarm and struck with fear. And those who had seen it related in full what had happened to the man possessed by demons and to the hogs. And they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And when he had stepped into the boat, the man who had been controlled by the unclean spirits kept begging him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused to permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your own family and relatives and friends, and bring back word to them of how much the Lord has done for you, and how he has had sympathy for you and mercy on you." And he departed and began to publicly proclaim in Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were astonished and marveled. And when Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was at the lake shore. Then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be healed and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides, so as to almost suffocate him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, "If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health." And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples kept saying to him, "You see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask who touched me?" Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease." While he was still speaking, there came some from the ruler's house who said to Jairus, "Your daughter has died. Why bother and distress the teacher any further?" Overhearing, but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing." And he permitted no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they arrived at the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he looked carefully and with understanding at the tumult and the people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had gone in, he said to them, "Why do you make an uproar and weep? The little girl is not dead, but is sleeping." And they laughed and jeered at him, but he put them all out. And taking the child's father and mother and those who were with him, he went in where the little girl was lying. Gripping her firmly by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which translated is, "Little girl, I say to you, arise from the sleep of death." And instantly the girl got up and started walking around, for she was 12 years old. And they were utterly astonished and overcome with amazement. And he strictly commanded and warned them that no one should know this, and he expressly told them to give her something to eat. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's passages of scripture that we read, we find two really fascinating stories that illustrate for us the power of faith in taking hold of the promises of God. I want to review these two particular stories of healing with you so that you can apply it to your own life. The first one is the woman with the issue of blood who had heard the reports concerning Jesus. She knew he was a healer. She believed those reports about him, obviously enough to where she had become convinced in her own heart. And we know this because verse 28 of Mark 5 says, "For she kept saying, 'If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health.'" And we previously read in the book of Matthew that Jesus said, "Whatever's in abundance in a person's heart will come out as words from their lips." And that is exactly what we see here. She had stored up in abundance a confidence, sureness of faith that Jesus was able and desirous to heal her personally. So she came up behind him in that crowd, touched his garments, saying, "If I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. It will happen. I will be healed." Her own words, the words of her mouth, what came out of the abundance of her heart and spoke through her lips, was full of faith. She believed she would be healed. She believed that her contact with Jesus would produce healing for her physical body. And she got exactly what she believed, because verse 29 tells us, "And immediately, her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment." And not only did she know it, Jesus, who wasn't even looking at her because she had come up from behind in this crowd that was pressing against him, Jesus knew it, recognizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth. He turned around immediately and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who's the one that just got the power that came out of me?" Who is it? His disciples tried to tell him, Lord, all these people are pressing against you and you're asking which one touched you? They all touched you. But he knew something had happened. He knew there was a transference of power from his person to someone who had faith. So he kept looking around to find this person. And the woman, realizing that the Lord knew, confessed. And you know, it took a lot of courage for her to do that. Because in Jewish culture and in Jewish tradition, a woman with an issue of blood was not allowed to be in contact with anyone. They had to remove themselves from the situation, even every month, and keep themselves at a distance from people so that the other person wouldn't be made unclean by contact with that person, with the woman. So she was not even supposed to be out in a crowd. That was prohibited by the law, and yet she was. So for her to admit publicly in that setting was quite distressing to her, because under Jewish law, she should be stoned for even doing that. But she confessed what had happened. She confessed why she touched him. And she confessed what she received through the power of Jesus in healing her body. And Jesus' response to her wasn't a rebuke. What are you doing out in public? You know it's against the Jewish laws. Instead, he commends her. He says to her, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, the Amplified tells us, has restored you to health. He directly commends her and tells her, you know why you got healed? Your faith, your trust, your confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace. That was a powerful statement. But it speaks to us today. God himself looks to see who will believe his word, who will believe him, who will believe his character, who will place their trust in the goodness of God to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to bring an answer when the need is great. This woman had a need, and she was determined to see that need met, and she believed Jesus was the Messiah, the healer, able and willing to heal her. And even with her mouth, she stated it, if I can only touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. She believed it, she said it, she persisted in it until she took hold of him and she took hold of her healing. Faith requires persistence. Faith requires that you pursue no matter what the cost. Faith requires that you believe in your heart and say with your mouth that Jesus is your healer, that you will receive your healing, rather than this woman going to Jesus and through the crowd saying, I wonder if I'll get healed if I touch him. She never said that. She said, if I touch him, I will be healed. She had a confident faith, and Jesus directly commends her for it and says, that is what brought your healing. Then we move on to the next story, which is quite amazing in itself, and it's the story of the raising from the dead of Jairus's daughter. Now, this story brings another element to us. It brings the element of all hope is gone. Things are at this point too far gone for any good result. Jairus believed that if Jesus would come to his house and pray for his daughter, she would be healed. He believed that, which is what brought him to Jesus' feet, brought him to beg for Jesus to come. He sincerely believed in his heart that Jesus was able to make his daughter well. But what happened next should have sent him to the point of despair. They're walking toward his house. They have not yet reached it. And some people from his house come to him and give him the bad news. Your daughter has died. It's too late. Don't bother the teacher anymore. So imagine, they just took his hope away. They just took his courage away. They took away every possibility of this turning into anything good. It's too late. It's over. Let the teacher go. Come and bury your daughter. And yet, what does Jesus do with that bit of information that he just heard in Jairus' presence? I love what it says in the Amplified. In verse 36 of Mark 5, it says, "Overhearing but ignoring what they said." That's the Amplified translation. It's excellent. "Overhearing but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, 'Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing.'" Jesus just gave him the key to seeing intervention of God. The key. He had a hopeless situation. His daughter has died. It's over. He had never seen anyone raised from the dead, and he didn't have faith to believe he would see that kind of a miracle. His faith to this point had been limited to believing if Jesus got there in time, she would live and not die. But this was a whole nother realm. It went into a new dimension. Now, Jesus is telling him, only keep on believing. Do not be seized with fear. Only keep on believing. Jesus is telling him, in the face of impossibility, of hopelessness, of there's no good answer to this situation, in the face of that, Jesus tells him, don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Don't even go there. Don't allow yourself to move in that direction. Don't let your emotions go there. Don't let your mind go there. Don't be seized with alarm and struck with fear. Only keep on believing. He tells him the negative, don't do this, and the positive, only keep on believing. What was he to keep on believing? He was to keep on believing that Jesus was able to intervene and bring a good result to an impossible situation. He had to keep on believing Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was full of authority and power and able to deliver to the uttermost. So Jairus, the synagogue ruler, chose to obey Jesus in the face of hopeless impossibility, the death of his only child. He took Jesus' words to heart. He wouldn't allow himself to be seized with alarm or struck with fear. He decided, I'm going to keep on believing. Jesus is going with me. He's going to do something. This is going to change. I don't know what it is. I've never seen it before. I can't imagine what it'll look like, but I'm going to keep on believing. Jesus is my rescuer. Jesus is the one who can intervene and turn things around, even though I can't imagine how it could be turned around. But I believe he is able, and he is willing, and he desires to, and he loves me. You know, that's what Jesus is asking of you. Are you facing an absolute impossible situation, a hopeless situation, in all the natural things that have come to your mind and you can see with your eyes? There's no good result. There's no good resolution in your own mind that can possibly come to the situation you're facing. It seems like it's too late. It's too far gone, and it can't possibly be healed. That's what Jairus was facing. And yet Jesus stopped him just when fear was about to grip him and take him down. Do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear, Jesus told him. Only keep on believing. Jairus made that decision in a split second, and he went with Jesus to his house. And Jesus did something very interesting. He permitted no one to accompany him except Jairus. his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And then when he arrived at the house where all the people were wailing and weeping and shrieking and doing what was traditional at the time someone dies or at a funeral, they had professional mourners and criers, literally, to symbolize the sorrow the family was going through. So these people had started their job right there. And Jesus told them, you don't need to do that. The little girl's only asleep, not dead. And of course, they jeered at him. And he did something very interesting. It says he put them all out. And taking the child's father and mother and those who were with him, he went in where the little girl was lying. So we see Jesus do something very significant. He removes all the people with unbelief. He removes them. He puts them out. You know, sometimes in your life, when you are standing and believing God, and you are facing an impossible situation like Jairus was at that moment, there's only one thing to do. You have to put all people with unbelief out. You can't have them in your inner circle. They will not encourage you. In fact, they'll take your courage away, which is what discouragement means. They will take your courage away by the things they say, by the way that they think, by the way that they evaluate your situation. They will remove your courage. You have to put everyone with unbelief out. And you have to keep only Jesus and those who can believe with you in your inner circle like Jesus did. And you have to follow the words of Jesus to the uttermost. He told Jairus, do not be seized with alarm and struck with fear. If you're seized with alarm, you're like, oh, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? That is being seized with alarm. You're struck with this sudden, I need to do something. I don't know what to do. I'm essentially losing my grip on peace and calm. And Jesus clearly instructed Jairus, do not allow yourself to be seized with alarm and struck with fear. And then he gives him his positive command. He says, only keep on believing. So for you in your current situation that seems so impossible, you have got to take hold of these faith rules that Jesus laid down for a person who needed a miracle when things appeared hopeless. Do not be seized with alarm. Do not be struck with fear. Only keep on believing, and then only allow in your inner circle, in this time when you're facing that impossibility, those who can believe with you. You're going to have to remove anybody who is full of unbelief and who will not encourage you to stand and believe God's word. So this was something that was so critical. We saw two sides of this. The woman with the issue of blood who knew that she knew that she knew she was going to receive her healing, and she pursued it regardless of shame that she might have encountered had anyone realized why she was there and that she was out in public and that she was touching this man's garment. That was just unacceptable. No self-respecting Jewish woman would ever do that. Yet she persisted and she received what she believed God would do for her. Your faith has made you well. That was Jesus' word. Then we see the other side of faith when you're faced with impossibility and fear is trying to grip you and you are staring at hopelessness and impossibility. That is the time you've got to take the counsel of Jesus that was given to Jairus here. Don't be seized with alarm. Don't be struck with fear. Only keep on believing. And the faith of that woman brought her healing, and the faith and trust of Jairus brought his little girl back from the dead. That is powerful, but it gives us insight into the power of faith in seeing God's best, God's will, God's desire for your life to come to pass. God bless you. and give you a victorious and faith-filled week.